Do you like film? Do you like comedy? Do you like your childhood memories?
One more take?
Yeah.
Lewis and Pete's bad nostalgia film club.
Each episode sees comedian Lewis Charlesworth and Pete Phillipson revisit a classic childhood film through the eyes of an adult to see how messed up it truly is. Be it Back to the Future for its story of incest, Mrs. Doubtfire for its tale of the creepy cross-dressing father babysitter, or Home Alone with its sinister home invasion toddler torturer nightmare.
Bad nostalgia. Disney series.
I did it again. Hello, welcome, people. I always forget that there's a little bit hanging over the edge that says, the Disney series. Hello, welcome to Bad Nostalgia, episode 3
episode
of the Disney
three
series.
Of the Disney series,
yeah. And who are they listening to, Pete?
Oh, we've got a treat for you tonight. It's me, as always, Pete Phillipson.
And me, Lewis Charlesworth. We don't give ourselves these little titles anymore, do we?
Because I don't think we need to, mate. I think we've given them... I think we've given the public all that they need, all the relevant info.
Yeah, yeah.
I've gone as far as to describe my day job.
Wow, well, I mean, that's just too much information.
It's too much information.
It's like telling them the type of toilet roll you use on your bum and stuff like that. You don't really need...
Charming.
Here we are. We've been enjoying ourselves. We've had a nice little run, haven't we, so far with the whole Disney series. Really, really enjoyed it so far. Have you?
I have, mate. We've been missing a little someone, though, haven't we?
We have been missing a little someone. It's yours truly, me. Hi. I'll be on the desk again, driving things, because our little Michelle, our lovely producer and techie, she's not very well. She genuinely is not very well. We thought it was just a hangover last week, but no, she needs another week off, and for a very good reason. We really wish her well and hope she gets well very, very soon, don't we, Pete?
We do, mate. We do.
And I'm sure she will be back fighting with all the Disney series next week.
All them sound effects, all them little...
I know. You're not going to have any of the sound effects while she got me running the ship. Because I'm inadequate. Yes, I am. You're not even going to get any adverts. That's one of the benefits, actually. Because I'm too inadequate for that as well. So this week, what film have we got, Pete? Hit me.
What do you actually say, those lyrics, when you sing it? I go, Svenja, leder de bis sinaya.
Oh,
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, but I don't know. Lenin abis sinaya. What do you say?
I mean, it's obviously gibberish what you're saying, but I'm not acquainted enough with the film to have my own standardized.
It's specifics, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I would just go, I just like gibberish kind of like, but not so nicely articulated gibberish as yourself, because I've got to own up to the listeners now. This has never been the case with me. I know that the thing is with us is that the concept of the show is we've seen the film we're about to talk about when we were little kids. When I'm 6, you're 7. Usually, there's always that year between, etc. All that. But on this occasion, it's not really applying to me so much because I never saw Lion King when I was a little kid.
What? Oh my God!
Ever?
Why are you dropping this bombshell now?
I know. I should have just lied.
But that's the. But you never saw The Lion King?
No.
When's the first time you saw The Lion King, mate?
Last night.
Shut up.
No.
I don't believe you.
I swear down, mate. I've never seen it.
You've never seen The Lion King?
And when people say, the people have this response.
What?
You've never seen it. And then they say, why? Like there should be a proper reason. Like, were you kidnapped for that period when it was released? Did you forget your cognitive senses? Were you kind of... And it was nothing like that. I don't know what it was.
But this is bad nostalgia, mate.
I know.
This isn't no nostalgia.
This isn't just bad. It's not the Michael Jackson video. It's not just bad. Oh, we love an MJ fucking link, don't we? Oh, just to swear word. No, I never saw it back in the day. Never saw it. And I have no idea why. All I can say to justify it is, you know, when you're a kid, you're just so overstimulated by all sorts of stuff going on. There's always a big film of yours, and you become obsessed by a few things. Yeah. Like, we were obsessed with Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, and other really girly Disney films.
Yeah. But why not The Lion King?
There was just no room for Lion King. I think that's what it was, because we were at the age, we were age appropriate.
Did you not feel as a, you know, a young black kid living in Bolton, this is like...
Right. Throw race into it, Pete, just in case they forgot.
Well, we are on the radio, if you don't know. Lewis is a black gentleman.
Not only... Yes,
did
I
you,
am.
Did you not feel that... this was in some way, you know, inherent to your sort of roots in a way?
What? At the all? Lion King? This is about Africa.
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, in a way. Do you not feel at all like...
You are so sheltered in Lincolnshire, aren't you?
Yes.
Look at you, listen to you, trying to understand what it is to be a young black man in the early 90s.
In Bolton.
You're really struggling, aren't you?
But did you not at all?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't find more of a connection to Simba the Lion over Ariel the Mermaid because he was in Africa. No, I did not.
Okay.
Although, nice tenuous link, though.
Okay.
You tried.
I'm just trying to relate, mate.
You're trying to build those bridges.
Yeah.
We lived together for 2 years. Yeah. Still got no idea how to relate to me. they went back home to Lincolnshire. Still can't do it. Look, Mum.
No.
I know. I bet you can't, love.
I even made him watch The Lion King.
His research.
Yeah. He's never even seen it. What?
Before you moved in with me, you watched The Lion King and all its sequels just to kind of
it's
understand.
Like, hey, Lewis,
me.
Do you want to watch The Lion King, mate? We can. No, it's not happening.
We can sing Argaspeño. You're singing it more specifically than me. Oh, God. We don't need the film this week, do we?
We don't, no.
We really don't, because we have each other. Right, anyway, we started a lot of the nostalgia, so I'm going to hit that ground running.
Well, I would ask you, mate, what do you remember? But you've lied to me.
You know me, Pete. I can still talk. I'll still talk. Yeah.
Right.
I remember nothing.
I suppose this is just down to me, then.
Fire ahead.
Right, okay.
Fire away.
So the year would have been 1994.
Yeah.
I would have been 8. You would have been but 9. I remember this, again, we're building. Each Disney film we do, I'm remembering it sort of a bit more clearly. I was getting to that age where I knew that...
Well, before you start talking about age, shall we contextualise and tell them what year it was released?
I just said that, mate. It was 1994.
Did you? Sorry, I'm...
You were concentrating so much. I could see you concentrating so much on the buttons. I even did the little joke, and I wondered why you didn't laugh.
Sorry.
I did. I went, I would have been 8. I said, I was 8. You would have been but 9.
Did you actually...
I actually said that, and you missed the joke we do every week.
Flipping heck. I wasn't even in the sound booth.
You were too busy in Africa with
in
all
Africa.
The lions and everything.
Stage managing.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Sorry, carry on. You did the joke. Wasn't it good?
So, yeah.
I was 9, you were 8.
Yeah,
94.
That's right.
But also, to raise the issue of the years, we are working chronologically with the Disney Renaissance, because we started with Little Mermaid last series.
Yeah.
They went to Aladdin. Then we went to Beauty and the Beast. This is 90, 91. And then now you've got Lion King. Although, actually, I think I've messed that up a bit, because I think the Aladdin was around this period. But generally, what I'm saying is we're getting further and further into the 90s. So it's nicely placed, actually.
Yeah,
as you'll find out with the trailer, because they refer to those three other films.
Ah,
so.
There we go. We're building, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Sorry.
What was I saying?
I know, we'll listen this time.
I remember... I was getting to an age where I knew that cartoons weren't real. When I was really young,
oh no,
I didn't. But it was good because there was more.
Did that coincide with the age of Santa isn't real?
No. I found out that
was way later.
That was that was university.
Couple of years.
No, I was getting to that age where I knew sort of that cartoons weren't real. Because when I was a little kid, I used to see the cartoons, and I remember when we were talking about Aladdin, when I found out Robin Williams did the voice, I was like, how can he do the voice of the genie? The genie's the genie. So I was getting to this age where I knew that actors were behind sort of, you know, the characters and the voices.
That is magic evaporation time, right?
Yeah. But because of that, I was really drawn towards all the characters in it. It wasn't like I just hated the villain like I hated the villain in the other films. I was drawn towards Jeremy Irons as Scar. I was really intrigued, and I really liked the hyenas. I found them really funny. Uh-huh. It wasn't just like they came on screen and like the other Disney films, I was like, boo, it's a baddie. Yeah. I was a bit older. I appreciated the craft of it.
You have a bit more of a sophisticated understanding of what was going on and how to enjoy it. Interesting.
And as well, a little lad from Lincolnshire, as I've already sort of touched on, this was the first time I was sort of introduced to to Africa, I think.
Right.
The Lion King, which obviously, as we found out, skewered my perception.
Yeah, you're saying it as if it might be a little bit of a weird thing to say, but it's probably quite representative of people in Lincolnshire, really, isn't it?
What, the Lion King?
Yeah.
How
being
do you
the
mean?
First time they're exposed to Africa.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably, if they ever get enough money together to go out there, they probably are a bit disappointed when they find out that the lions can't actually speak English in American accents. Carry on.
And,
Pete, I'm from Bolton, it's fine. Carry on.
And I think this was... I remember just... It was that wonderful sense of adventure like there is with a lot of Disney films and the real sense of danger as well.
Right.
And
because it was in such an exotic environment.
Yeah.
That's the thing with this one. It's in a much more exotic kind of surrounding than any of the others.
Yeah,
I found
yeah.
myself, even though I have none of that nostalgic kind of background to bring to it.
No.
I did find myself when I was watching it last night that I just kind of got immersed in the surroundings and the kind of the context and the country and the background as much as the story and any of the characters.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
what really swept me away, more so than probably any of the other films we've done. Like Aladdin was a great story and a great mythology, but you never didn't get that sense of place
as much
as I did with The Lion King.
Yeah,
you just
absolutely.
Want to be out there. It really, it's successful in making you feel at one with nature, I must say.
Yeah,
did that come across as a little kid?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But in the same, I wasn't aware that's what it was doing, but there was this
right.
wonderful sort of calming effect that it had when I watched it, and just it was of a time, wasn't it? Like Ladysmith Black Mambazo was in the charts. I remember.
Who's that?
That's the group that used to do all the African singing. I'm not sure if they did the title. They are Savenya, but everyone was.
It's probably another African group, mate, but they're all the same. Carry on.
No, I did. But I remember my parents listening to it on radio, on like Radio 4, like all the African music, and it was there was a real fascination with that culture at the time.
I can just imagine that.
Am I just racist? Is that what? Is that what?
Gentrified Lincolnshire people. Oh, these dark people are singing their hearts out, aren't they? Yes, listen to them. We couldn't do that, could we? No, they have that on us. Oh, carry on.
I'm going to soon stop trying. I'm going to stop trying to connect with you, mate. It's not working.
It's good. Yeah. No, that was a lovely big fat dollop of nostalgia, mate.
Yeah, I really
appreciate that. No, it's lovely. It's for me to get really swept away and to be really immersed in your life in Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
And your people back in the early 90s then, before political correctness. So, right, before we crack on, obviously it's that time of the night to play our trailer for The Lion King. See you soon, people.
Walt Disney Studios has taken us on unforgettable journeys, from Under the Sea in The Little Mermaid to an enchanted castle in Beauty and the Beast, and into a whole new world with Aladdin. Now, for the summer of 1994, Disney animators will take you deep into the wilds of Africa for Disney's 32nd all-new full-length animated feature, The Lion King. It's an extraordinary original story about a heroic young cub named Simba, destined to become king of the jungle. To create a cast of realistic animal characters, Disney's artists drew inspiration for their work by sketching and studying the real things. Some of their subjects were even invited right into the studio.
Big kid.
With 7 original songs by pop superstar Elton John and Aladdin's Academy Award-winning lyricist Tim Rice, The Lion King will take you on a journey to a dazzling new world of adventure.
Well, that was just absolutely beautiful. I really loved hearing that. And it reminded me that the music is just so gorgeous in The Lion King. Did it remind you of that, Pete?
Yeah, mate, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I did. It was Ladysmith Black Mambazo all the way. That's what it was.
I believe, even though I've never heard of her, I do believe in you whenever you come out with some sort of fact about a singer or something like that. You're very good with the details, aren't
you? Yeah.
Very good.
I always remember, I think you always remember sort of the feeling, but I always remember sort of what was happening at the time as well.
Right.
I remember things, like I remember when I was watching The Lion King, like the type of butter that my dad was eating on his crumpet. Do you know what I mean? down to that level. My dad and his little racist crumpet, he was eating.
Yeah. Right, so we've done a massive big fat dollop of nostalgia so far in this show. It's taken us a while to get going, but I've not a while to get going, but a while to progress throughout the format of the show. But we got going straight away, baby, didn't we?
We did, mate.
Yeah, bloody hell. Right, so what we're going to do now is obviously I deconstruct sound effect music. Somehow I'm just going to this is a bit of a techie mess up. Before we do that though, we're gonna have a little quick segue just to remind you what show you're listening to. And do remember, follow us, tweet us @BadNostalgia @BadNostalgia. Pete, I've got to say, right, we'll be getting some really serious listenership at the moment.
I know, mate.
Downloads.
Yeah.
All over the flipping world.
Where?
I can't believe it.
Who's listening to us? Who's checking us out?
We've had people in Germany. That's a friend of mine. we've had people in France. We had 50 downloads in France over
really?
The last few days. Yeah, I don't know where they're coming from, right? I'm going to have to just like keep pandering to French people. I'm going to learn French. That's a lie. But I'm gonna acknowledge you, babies. We've had a few in Australia.
Have we had any in Africa?
None in Africa.
Right, okay.
Hopefully they won't listen to this episode. we've had a lot in the US of A as well.
Oh, my
so
God.
Be people, if you are listening, right, if you're hearing us, do download. Keep downloading and follow us. Follow us on Twitter @BadNostalgia. Tweet us, follow us. We love you. We want to translate the downloads into real people. Engage with us. We want you. We will talk about whatever film you flipping well want. Firstly, we're going to have a little segue and then we're going to deconstruct the shit out of this film we call Aladdin. I was on such
the
a
Lion
roller.
King. The Lion King.
The Lion King. Flip.
Except he hasn't got 'em. We'll ruin your childhood.
Quick little segue there, thank you, and we're back. Do follow us @BadNostalgia @BadNostalgia. So we've talked very nicely about the film. We've been very respectful.
Yes, mate.
And it's now time to tear it a new a-hole. So let's do this. Right, Petey Poo, your right. Time, your turn for a synopsis. Hit me.
Okay, so we're living in a world that is just all animals, okay? Mm-hmm. We're in Africa, and there's a lion family, which essentially, like, royalty. Like, there's a lion king. It's in the title.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He basically owns pretty much all of the land, apart from like a little dodgy place which is out of bounds.
Owns it.
Yeah. Now it's a lot to do with sort of royalty. The story basically, what happens is the lion has a newborn son called Simba. Okay, but the lion's brother Scar is really, really pissed off because he really wanted to be king next. He was second in line, but obviously his brother, who is the king, has had a child, so he's going to be second in line for the throne. So in an evil sort of plot to ensure that he is king, so he really, really wants the power, what he does is he kills his brother and tells the future king, the Lion King's son, to run away and never come back.
Drama,
absolute dramas, mate. And while Simba is away, Scar, the new evil king, basically takes over with loads of these weird hyenas. And there's no food left, and it becomes Pride Rock is the place where they live, becomes a really horrible, dark place to live. Mm. Simba, in the meantime, who's run away, he is befriended by a warthog and a meerkat.
I do believe, yes.
Yeah.
Voiced by Nathan Lane. Carry on. Sorry.
Yeah, and he's basically become this sort of, you know, big, fat sort of stoner, really. He's having a laugh, but one of the lions comes back and says, you've got to come back to Pride Rock. Your evil uncle's taken over. You've got to come back and save the place. And he does. And he ends up killing Scar and becoming the king and making it sort of a great place again.
That was a really lovely, concise, engaging synopsis.
Do you know what, mate? I think I did the synopsis last week?
I did it last week.
Okay, I thought I did it last week, which is why I didn't have anything prepared.
Well, you bashed it out of the park, mate.
Oh, right. Well,
it just
cheers,
shows
mate.
That if you did try and prepare, you would have over-prepared.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
already prepared, mate.
You're right.
Because it's been with you for years, this film. That synopsis has been bubbling
or
away.
If I knew I was doing it, I would have copied and pasted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you just would have been. It would have been all
no,
over
no.
the place.
Yeah.
Right, that was beautiful. Thank you. You really did encapture everything about that film. Lovely, lovely. The facts. You are the facts man. Right, so who wants to start and where do you want to start?
Well, I just
We
got
like
something.
To start right at the beginning.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
We can, don't we?
So I'm going to start with the opening song.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. The Azabenya. So, I never gave it any thought as to what these lyrics actually mean.
Okay.
So, I actually had a look. So, the opening lyrics, we're jumping a little bit into trivia here, but this is the very beginning
of the film.
Go for
it, it's totally relevant.
Okay.
If it's messed up.
The basically opening lyrics, the lyrics of the song is, "Here comes a lion, father. Oh, yes. Here comes a lion. Oh, yes. We're going to conquer this lion." So the whole film's meant to be about, like, the fucking circle of life. And you've got these, like, you know, African father and son who just want the lion on a fucking dinner plate. That's what's really going on. I thought, like, it was... Like, the song is about the circle of life.
Yeah.
And you've got a father and a son talking about conquering a lion. Like, having a fight with it.
Yeah.
And stabbing it with something.
That is not the circle.
That's not the circle
of nature.
That's not the circle of life.
Ego and destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I'm glad you translated that. It didn't occur to me to translate that because I didn't realise there was words that were being said. I just thought it was kind of general sounds from the mouth. But there you go. That's
they do have a language, mate, in Africa. They do. It's not just weird noises. I didn't know if you knew that.
Oh, I just thought it was general sounds from the mouth. God, what's happened to me? Right. Okay. Nice, Pete. And then you've also got the opening sequence with the baboon, who's kind of the represents a voodoo kind of man of Africa, who kind of holds the baby lion Simba above the crowd of thousands of people who are all like going mad because he's going to be the future king. Clearly, they've just decided that they're going to refer to Christianity as the dominant religion. Of course, there you got your kind of westernized propaganda coming through there because he looks like he's having a christening because he wipes a thing across his head.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you
yeah.
do have with the christening, don't you?
Yeah.
And then he hangs him over the edge. And I'm sure back in the day, it looked quite nice and quite. It was quite a big positive image of him holding the baby yeah. above everyone. But now, given... Yeah, this is a nice little MJ parallel. I couldn't help but think of holding MJ's baby over the balcony that time a few years ago.
Yeah.
So it has that kind of resonance to
oh,
it, where
God,
it's just
it does,
like,
doesn't
don't
it?
Drop him. Please, don't, this is irresponsible. I know we're all excited about the baby, yeah, but, you know, it's a bit irresponsible, MJ.
Because that's obviously why he did it, isn't it? Because he was obsessed. He was obsessed
Probably
with Disney
no.
and fantasy, and yeah,
I think so.
And that's such an iconic thing.
Yeah,
you've ruined that. And that's why
exactly.
we're here.
That's why we're here, mate.
That's why we're here.
So moving on to
one thing as well about the opening bit, which I didn't get, is like why were all those zebras there just going mental and like loving it? Because if you think about it, like Mufasa's is like going to eat them eventually. So why are they like turning up going, oh, we're so happy? That's like a disabled person turning up to like a Tory conference and going like, yeah, yeah.
Well, this touches upon one of my main issues with Lion King because there's a massive misrepresentation of the lion's role within the animal kingdom and what felines themselves are all about. This
right.
is my main issue with how this film is fucked up, actually.
Okay.
Is a misrepresentation of felines and lions within the animal kingdom. We will get back to that, though.
Okay.
Thank you for raising that initially. Right.
Okay.
Before that, though, I want to move on a little bit, like chronologically-wise, plot of the story. The father and the son absolutely bloody love each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Into each other. This father is just such a noble person, voiced by James Earl Jones. Can't be more noble than that, right?
Yeah.
He loves his dad. He's like, you are the king, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then his dad takes him for a little walk up a cliff, right? And then they look across the whole of the empire. And his dad, he's like just a middle-aged guy, you know, he's pretty healthy, you know, pretty buff, you know?
Yeah,
Nice little afro, mane, all that.
Yeah.
And he's like, look at this, son. And then rather than just be positive, because they've got everything, he's like proper unnecessarily maudlin. He's like, you know what? I'm going to die one day. And I'm like, if my dad turned around and started saying that, I'd be like, can you just fucking calm down? You're only 38. Just chill out. Like, I'm going to die one day. And when I die, when I'm dead, son, even though you're about 3, you are going to take over all of this. You're going to inherit everything. And then what does the son say? The first thing he says is like, wow, I'm going to inherit all of this? Yeah. Like, are you ignoring the fact that he's to inherit it? Your dad has to fucking die first. You actually, clearly you love him and feel so much about him. Yet at the same time, he's able to separate that and just think, oh, yeah, that I'll own that tree. Like, what is this son? He's just like, this is such a preppy kind of really upper middle class kind of born in this, with a silver spoon in their mouth kind of family who just absolutely do not care about anything other than the material gains and all that kind of stuff. Like, no matter how much he loves his father, he's just like, oh god, yeah, I love you, oh, and when you die I'm gonna get everything. Awesome. Which brings me perfectly on to this song is fucked up.
Oh.
So can I do the honours?
You do it, mate.
Can't wait. I almost forgot to put the sound effect in, and while you were talking before, I just managed to quickly sneak it in, so I'm really proud of myself. So here we go. For all our listeners out there, all the people in France, the people in Australia, and my friend in Germany, and Gav. Let's welcome on a new formatted bit for the new series. That song is fucked up.
That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up.
Love it. Still doesn't. I still don't tire of that, Pete. I still love it. Do you love it?
I love it, mate. Was I meant to record a version of that?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to send over your version, and then I'm going to kind of put you on at the same time.
I thought I was meant to, but I didn't. I was just really embarrassed about you just getting like. Just a voice recorded of me going, the song's fucked up. 2, 3, 4. That song's fucked up.
I'll edit it. I'll be flattering, mate. I'll edit it. Right, okay, so I'll auto-tune it. Don't worry. Unlike, even though I definitely didn't do that with myself. Right, so the song that we're going to focus on for The Song Is Fucked Up, it's my turn this week.
Yeah.
It's going to be, the focus is going to be I Just Can't Wait to Be King. And I raise it now because it does relate to this whole point I made about Simba being obsessed with power rather than his father, who he actually does love so much.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we kick it off. I'm going to be a mighty king, so enemies beware. He's singing it in such a nice way, but it's actually quite threatening considering how much power he potentially has access to.
Yeah, yeah.
And at this point, is anyone actually threatening the kingdom?
No.
No.
You've got the hyenas in their little... in their little shack, like graveyard, but they're keeping themselves to themselves, aren't
what
they?
What, the hyenas? They got nothing to talk about.
Yeah, they're just little shitty knobs.
Yeah. Okay, first line. I'm going to be the main event like no king was before. Again, power hungry. I'm going to be better than my dad who's just died.
Right? Yeah.
Nice. Sorrowful. I'm brushing up on looking down. I'm going to make myself extra... I'm going to buy myself some nice clothes.
Oh,
God. And elevate myself even more so I can look down at you little peasants nibbling at my feet.
He's a condescending little knob, isn't he?
He's a little shit.
Yeah.
I'm working on being aggressive and scaring the shit out of you and scaring you like a fucking Gestapo.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, comma, and orgasming over it.
Really?
I just can't wait to be king. No one's saying do this, right? Loving the fact that no one's telling him what to do, right? No one's saying do this. I do what the fuck I want. No one's saying be there. Don't need to be like the fuck I sit on my ass and eat fucking just fucking gristle off a zebra. No one's saying stop that. Eat all the zebra I want. Stop that. Sexual violence. No one's saying see here. Don't know what that means. Free to run.
What is?
No one's saying see. Oi, Simba, come here. See here.
Does he mean like when people go like, oi, see here, see this?
Probably.
Yeah.
Free to run around all day, all right? Free to do it all my own way. Ominous. I think it's time that you and I, this is with the parrot now. I think it's time that you and I arrange a heart-to-heart, like just to talk in some sense to him, just calm down.
If
you're going to get carried away with that, you are going to be like some fucking Mugabe bastard. Just calm down. Kings don't need advice from little hornbills for a start. Derogatory term, probably racist.
Hornbills?
Yeah, I googled it. That is actually a type of bird, but the way he says it sounds derogatory.
Oh, right.
If this is where the monarchy is headed... This is the bird again. If this is where the monarchy is headed, count me out. And then he says, out of service, out of Africa. I wouldn't hang about. So it's like, fuck off and get out of Africa. Which is the biggest continent in the world.
Yeah.
And this is in, like, the 10th century. How's he going to get that far? Actually, he is a bird. He'd probably be all right, to be honest.
Hibernation.
Hibernation, mate. This child is getting wildly out of wing. Oh, I just can't wait to be king, ignorant of everything he's saying. And this is a guy who's been, like, second in command to the king for decades, just ignoring him. Can't wait to be king. Everybody look left, right? Everyone fear, looking over your shoulder, look left. Yeah. Everybody look right. Yeah, I'm looking everywhere now. Everywhere you look, I'm standing spotlight, right? Everywhere you look, I'm there. Powerful. This is the background singers. Let every creature go for broken sing. Let's hear it on the herd and on the wing. It's going to be King Simba's finest fling. Yeah, fling, sex, I don't know. Didn't really think too much about this last bit. I was going to leave this last bit out. Forgot about that. And then just a repetition of, oh, I just can't wait to be king. I can't wait to be king. I can't wait to be king. It's pretty sinister, is what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's very power hungry. It's very ambitious, aspirational of a kind of dictation of having a dictatorship, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's the role of, like, of Zazu, isn't it? Because he's got this lion that's meant to, you know, I guess represent Africa and all the animals and everything, and then you've got Zazu, who's just like, he just wants the colonization to happen, doesn't he?
Yeah,
really, that's what he's saying.
Pretty much.
Service out of Africa, I wouldn't hang about. You're not doing it the British way, are you, mate?
Yeah,
you're going to be a mighty powerful African king. We're not having that. No.
And he's voiced by Rowan Atkinson, who is a British guy. Sounded
exactly
like the aristocracy.
Yeah. From the elite. Yeah,
I think that's there, mate. I think that's there.
Yeah, yeah. I think. Well, that song is fucked up, mate. That was.
Yeah.
You have opened my eyes.
Thank you very much.
That was so clear the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything.
It was very focused, wasn't it?
And I never realised that was there, mate.
Yeah. So what happens, the next bit, the inciting incident with the Scar, the evil brother, tells Simba to go to the... There's an elephant graveyard. Are you excited? And I was just like, why is that the thing that Scar knows will cause Simba
to be really
excited so he can manipulate him? Like, why is it an elephant graveyard that really excites him and gets these kind of juices flowing?
If I said to my little nephew, do you want to hear something, right? There's an elephant graveyard down the road.
Yeah.
He'd probably go crying to my sister.
Exactly.
And be like, Uncle Pete's a fucking weirdo.
If you wanted to manipulate him, you'd be like, oh, apparently there's a new ice cream shop down the road. And he'd be like, yeah, I know he's going to go for that. And then I can pay the ice cream van like a tenner, run him over it. Like, do that to
an ice cream van.
Do that to manipulate him. These guys are hard up now. It's not the 70s anymore. It's
why doesn't he just kill him with his bare hands?
Yeah. No. Why is that the thing to manipulate? How messed up is this child that's like, oh, I know you like you got a fetish for the old elephant skulls. There's about 1,000 down the road, mate. Go for it. And so he takes the biscuit, he goes for it, and then then that's where he takes his little female friend, and then they love it, and they're like, oh God, this is really, unlike our paradise, this is a really scary area.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big fat graveyard, and there's loads of bones and stuff, and then lo and behold, they bump into the hyenas.
Yeah.
And the hyenas are played by Whoopi Goldberg and the guy who plays Cheech and Chong, right? A black woman and a Mexican guy or South American guy. Very noticeable in the way they speak as well. And then the hyenas have pretty much got dreadlocks, if you look at the hair. So the hyenas are pretty much representing kind of ghetto drug dealer kids.
The minorities.
The minorities. And obviously they're coming out of the place which is effectively the ghetto, the elephant graveyard. And then you've got these preppy rich kids who are just going to this place which could be a bit exciting because they're going to score some drugs or whatever off some black kid. And then suddenly they get into trouble. So there's this massive parallel.
It's like The Wire, isn't it? It's like they're in the projects.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is.
Have you seen the film Traffic?
No.
You got these proper upper middle class white kids who go to the Bronx to score some drugs. It makes them feel really cool. And then they get fucked over. It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's definitely there.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got the hyenas have got dreadlocks. They're doing everything other than take spliffs.
Yeah.
Pretty much in this bit.
Also, touching on Nala, who's Simba's little female lion friend. Have you ever realised this? Like, Nala, like Mufasa and Scar are the only sort of adult male lions. Like, if you look at any other point in the film, there's always just loads of female lions around them. So it's like, where did Nala come from, the little baby? Because there's no other like big lions about.
Yeah.
To like shag Mufasa's wife. So if you think about it, Simba and Nala like must be sisters. Did you ever think that?
No.
That must be the case. That's why I'm not surprised, like, at the end. You know where they, you know when Simba and Nala, like, hold their baby up? It's like the circle of life. I'm not surprised, like, the baboon's not smearing his thumb across just a giant forehead of a deformed baby with just an eye in the middle. Because, mate, there's nowhere else where she comes from.
Yeah.
I can't, yeah.
Massive inbreeding.
Yeah.
Love it, love it. Right, so where do we go from that? Then the hyenas try and kill him, and then they don't quite... They don't manage it, and then Scar pretty much kills Mufasa in this really horrible...
Oh, sorry, mate.
Yeah,
can I just go back to what I was saying?
Yeah.
Sorry. As well, really weird bit in the film, where obviously they go to the elephant graveyard, then Mufasa comes and saves them both, and he gives Simba, like, a proper bollocking. And then he goes, you put yourself and me in danger, and also, what's worse, you put Nala in danger. Yeah, Nala, his illegitimate love child. Why else would he say that? Like, that's the worst thing.
Yeah.
He's put Nala in danger.
Clearly. Yeah. That's what the subtext is.
That's exactly what it is, mate. Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
So then Scar pretty much kills Mufasa, which has got to be up there with the Bambi mother dying of one of the most traumatic childhood memory deaths of any kind of film. And I was watching it there, and I could be completely objective, but I was watching it with my fiance Rosie, who was there with it when she was a little kid, and she was absolutely inconsolable. I mean, she cried more than when she cried when we watched Schindler's List, to be honest. It was, like, really out there. It was just blubbering mess. I wasn't so bad because I didn't have that growing up and stuff, but it was just such an unnecessarily long, tragic death sequence. It was really, really, really full on. Did you feel a lot for that?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I realised as well, which is weird, is, like, because he's the king and he's there trying to rescue his son in the middle of all these antelope, but, like, he owns all the antelope. He's, like, famous in the animal kingdom. Mm. Why the hell aren't the antelope stopping? Why are they running and just barging past him where he's trying to save his son from death? Like, if you were running through a shopping, like, centre, and you saw, like, Prince Charles there, like, with Harry, and he was, like, trying to save him from, like, death or whatever, you'd stop and you'd be like, mate, do you want a hand? You wouldn't just fucking carry on running, would you? Why the hell aren't they stopping to save him?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's just not...
And what's more, Scar's there. So this is like Prince William trying to save Harry, and then you've got, like, Prince Andrew, like, throwing Prince Charles off a cliff. Like, that's what this is like.
Plus thousands of people.
Thousands of people are running past because there's, like, yeah, some scallies chasing them or something.
Yeah. Very good point. That did not occur to me whatsoever, actually. And then Simba almost gets killed, but then he escapes, of course, doesn't he? And then he meets the two animals, and they end up singing their little Hakuna Matata song.
Yeah, yeah.
So I reckon that's definitely the midpoint of the film. Yeah. So this is a great time to have a little segue. Do follow us at Bad Nostalgia, follow us on Podomatic. Be with us, stay with us, iTunes, baby. We're going to have a little segue. See you in a few seconds.
Bad Nostalgia.
Bambi! Bambi, come here!
Look. New spring grass.
Bambi, quick! The thicket!
Thank you, and we're back. I really, really still love that segue so much. It's so ominous and just scary, really.
Yeah.
So we're at the midway point where he meets his two mates, and lots of time moves on, and then we cut back to Simba, and he's now an adult, and he's running around with his little mates. I've got to say, in the first section, in the first part of this section of the film, the latter half, they sing the Hakuna Matata with him.
Yeah.
And there was a toss-up between doing this, and I just can't wait to be king for my song is fucked up bit, because I've got problems with that song.
Yeah.
I don't know if you picked up anything like this, right, but they meet him, and he explains his situation. He's like, my dad has just been murdered, and now I'm on the run because my uncle wants to blame me for it, and I'm about 8 years old, and I've got no home to go to. This is about the most horrendous story you could have for an eight-year-old, basically. And not only any eight-year-old, a preppy eight-year-old, you know, who goes to the ghetto for kicks, you know?
Yeah.
And they turn around, there's Timon and Pumbaa, whatever they're called, and then they start singing this Hakuna Matata song, which ostensibly sounds like a really nice, like, uplifting song, like, which basically means, forget your worries. You know, just say, fuck it, it's fine, everything's great. And it's like, that's a really good message. But then when you look at the scale of the trauma that this kid's gone through, and for these guys to just so flippantly say, fuck it, and also with the example they use as like to say this is the equivalent of what you've been through, the war hog or whatever he's called, the big fat pig, uses an example, is like, right, so you've lost your dad and you've been kicked out of your empire and you're never going to see your family ever again and you don't even know where you're going to get food from and you're about 6 years old. That's just like me. Right, my story is, and this is what they illustrate in the song, my story was, back in the day, I used to smell like shit, right? And everyone hated the way I smelt. I really stank like shit. And then I just thought, fuck it. That's literally...
Yeah. It doesn't change anything.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then he's supposed to turn around and be like, oh, mate, we're on the same wavelength. I've got no family, nowhere to live. You smell like shit. Isn't life a bitch? It's just like, that's what Hakuna Matata is. Honestly, people, if you're not seeing it for a while, rewatch it. That those are the lyrics of the song, baby. Right.
It's like they could meet anyone and that would be the river. Yeah. I killed a bunch of children. Well, fuck it, mate.
I just shat on your shoe, mate. Yeah. How about that? Life shit. I smell like it. Right.
One thing I found quite heartbreaking, yeah. And I don't know if this is just because of, like, the stage I'm at now, but, like, Simba was happier with Timon and Pumbaa. Like, when he lived in Pride Rock, he was a little megalomaniac who, like, couldn't wait to be king. He was always in trouble. He was always getting bollocked.
His
uncle wanted to kill him. Yep. He was going to be king. He had all this serious sort of responsibility looming over him. And every time he looks up to the clouds, his dad's going, don't forget who you are, Simba.
Yeah.
I think who he was just lying around all day eating shit, farting.
Waiting to have the power handed to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now he's like having quite a modest life and he's quite enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How do you, like Mufasa just ruins everything. It's like a dad wanting his son to like go into the family plumbing business. Do you know what I mean? When all he wants to do is just sit on the dole and smoke weed.
Yeah.
And he's so much happier
again,
doing that.
This is a bit of a Lincolnshire reading, but no, it really holds up.
Yeah, yeah, mate. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
And that is such a good point as well, because later on when his old lioness mate comes in and she says, you have to come back to the empire and fight your uncle. It's like, fuck you, why should he? He's having a great time having a few spliffs with his smelly bastard.
Yeah,
mate,
yeah.
Chilling out in the jungle.
Just to clarify, he's not at any point having a spliff.
No,
I don't know why we keep saying that.
I just threw that in. They have a stoner vibe about them, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they do, yeah. And I didn't realise that.
So in that bit as well, when the lioness comes in, what's she called? The girl? The romantic
Nala.
Lead. Nala. When she comes in, they have a fight sequence, don't they?
Yeah.
Because they're lions. And that's the first moment I was like, oh shit, I've had so much empathy for these people. But they're not people, they're lions.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot, these are absolute killing machines. And that made me question whether we should get involved and really have much sympathy for Simba at all. Because at the end of the day, these are lions. And in the outtakes, they're eating these things, they're eating zebras, they're eating everything. All lions do is sleep, fuck, and eat. And they eat and hunt about 70% of the time.
Yeah,
probably more. So I was just like, actually, this throws the whole morality of this film out the window, right? So they have this massive film fight sequence, and it just kind of reminded me about how much of a killing machine a cat is actually designed to be. The felines are like the biggest hunters of the whole animal world, right? Like, even with my cat, right, we have this ability to kind of project these human emotions onto our pets, like cats who are felines, right?
Yeah.
And I always love him, and I'm like, he loves me. I know he loves me, because I come home and he rubs himself all over me, and he does absolutely love me. He's like a little hairy person. He's not an animal. He's not a killing machine. He loves me. He's my little bro. But the other night, right, mate, I've got to confess to you and our listeners and all the French ones and everything, I was picking my feet.
Yeah.
I was picking the skin off my feet. I'm pretty good at it. Okay?
Yeah.
I picked off some massive wedges of skin off my feet and I put them down. And I was stroking my cat on my lap. He started eating the skin I'd picked off my feet. And I was like, this is in your nature, isn't it? To just eat, like, other alive animals.
Yeah.
You were actually designed to also eat me. And it made me think, how long would it take after I die for you to start seeing me as a source of food?
Yeah.
Felines are evil machine killers who eat anything with a pulse.
Oh my god, you should never have watched this film, mate. not only... the film can't have been ruined. Do you know what? I think it's because you can't focus on the film being ruined because you never watched it. So you're just comparing it to... You're just ruining your life, basically. That's what you're comparing it to. That's what I saw.
And it misrepresents felines in such a dangerous way for children, actually. It's what I'm seeing, right?
Yeah.
It's giving me a new angle on this because I've not seen it when I was a kid.
Okay.
Right, because... You know what, as I was saying, like, they just hunt and eat, and there's no morality with a feline. There's no morality with a cat, with an animal, with a beast, right? An actual beast. Because that's all they do, is they eat. But if you watch this film, they're massively misrepresented. You would think lions were vegans, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not once do you see them actually hunt something and kill it and eat it, even though that's its intrinsic to what it's all about, right? So if I was a little kid watching this, I would be brainwashed into thinking that lions were vegans, right? And I wouldn't be surprised if there were kids going to the zoo, climbing over the fence into the lion pit, into the lion cage, and being like, "Mummy, don't worry, I'm just going to feed Simba a carrot."
You always do that voice when you're hearing a kid. It's so,
"Mummy."
It does, though. Yeah,
it does. It's a true representation of lions in a way that's really dangerous. Like, the bit with the romance when they fall in love and everything. That's not how cats mate. That's not how it works. They'll stare into each other's eyes.
No.
They lick each other. They swim together and all that kind of stuff. When my cat, right, when I had a female cat, when she was on heat, she laid on her ass with her legs wide open.
Yeah.
And then all the tomcats all lined up in a queue.
Really?
Right. It's less The Lion King, it's more ex-hamster. it's not representative.
Yeah, lions, they just pound each other on a rock, don't they, in the middle of the day, with all the other lions around.
It's not right, mate.
No.
Right, so in this latter half of the film, have you got any other things?
I don't think I have, mate, no. Yeah. Got
have you got anything more of any kind of relationship with his father or anything about the baboon? The baboon was an interesting character for me.
Oh yeah, no, I do have a bit on the baboon as well.
Yeah,
yeah. I think this is probably their attempt at trying to get across some form of African culture, because the baboon is the only one who has a foreign accent, isn't he?
He's the only one with an African accent.
And it's this, I looked up and it's this American guy who's doing like the African, who's doing the accent. And I didn't think it would be an actual like African person just because of some of the stuff he comes out with. Like there's this chant he does. And they could have, I mean, they researched and got like an actual like African song for the opening credits. Mm. So they could have done the same for the baboon. But all the baboon is saying is, "Asante sana squash banana." That's all he's saying. "Asante sana squash banana."
Does it mean anything?
Mate, he's saying a squashed banana.
He's just saying a squashed
banana. He's saying a squashed banana. Right, like, that's what they said to us. Like, mate, just say something that's just, I don't know, if you were a person, if you were a baboon, like an African baboon, what would you say? And that's what came out. "That's banana."
Research. That's what research team. Yeah, lovely. Oh, God. I know, I really like the baboon as well. Sometimes I was like, I'm really scraping around to find something here because Lion King is such a nice, noble, beautiful, gorgeous film. But obviously, we delivered. We filled an hour just about.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that baboon. I thought, he's on my hit list. There's got to be something that dodgy about him. And there was one bit, actually. It was so horribly, like, emotionally manipulative and just in such a disturbing kind of way. About two-thirds of the way through the film, like, after Mufasa's been dead for at least 10 years,
whatever,
he goes up to Simba and is like, "I've seen your father. He is not dead." And then Simba's like, "What? My dad's not dead? He's still alive?" He's like, "Yes." Like, "You're joking." "No, I've seen him." And I was like, oh, brilliant. Why is Rosie crying? His dad's actually alive. So he follows him into the forest. And then what does he show? He doesn't show him his dad. He just shows him a puddle. "Look at your reflection. There he is." Fuck me. If I was Simba, right, being a lion as well, I would have et him after that.
Yeah.
He's just out of order.
But then he does actually see his dad in the reflection. He'd be thinking, oh, fuck, not only is my dad dead, but, like, I'm mental as well.
Yeah. Not only is this baboon a liar, he's drugged me.
Yeah.
Oh, is he going to fuck me?
I think the baboon as well was sort of weirdly... I've got a theory here, mate. I think the baboon was weirdly involved with Simba as a kid, because the reason the baboon like, thinks that Simba is still alive. There's a bit where Simba, when he's grown up and when he's with Timon and Pumbaa, he collapses on a rock, and all these leaves, like, travel through the air and go to the baboon who's in his little tree singing, and he gets the leaves and goes, sniffs them and goes, Simba. You see that
you
bit?
Pick up on everything. I don't remember that bit, actually. No.
Do you not? No. Like, Simba, like, collapses on a rock and all the leaves and the dust, like, go to him. And then he starts going mental and, like, scratching, like, a mane on the baby drawing of Simba. And he's like, Simba, he's alive! He's alive! Just because of this smell he got from him. Okay. And also, I'm jumping ahead to trivia here. That scene in the original edit, when the leaves, like, drift off the cliff after Simba collapses on it, people thought the leaves were spelling out sex.
Sex.
Yeah. And isn't that funny that the leaves then go to the baboon who sniffs them and gets all excited that Simba's alive?
Oh, Pete, you with your subtext. Look at this.
This is, man.
Crowbarring some lovely film trivia in there as well, which is, good mention because it's time for film trivia.
Yeah, mate.
Trivia time.
And we're back for the final section of Bad Nostalgia. Do follow us. We've really enjoyed this series and we've really enjoyed you listening to us. Do follow us. Keep following us. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter @BadNostalgia. So we're going to talk about the trivia behind the film, which turned it into this disgraceful piece of propaganda and misrepresentation of the Lion Kingdom. So, Pete, have you got anything for the film trivia?
Mate. Mufasa was the name of the last king of the Bagada people before the colonisation of Kenya, before the English like colonised it. He was one of the last king of the Bagada people, which is quite an insult really to his to his memory. He's probably turning in his grave like, how do you want to be remembered, mate, as a king of the African people that fought against the English, that fought for freedom? No, as a cartoon character in a Disney film who gets killed in the first act. That's how I want to be remembered, mate.
Like it. Nice. And there was also there was a bit of generic African dialect, which we touched upon before, which generally is quite gibberish if you hear any of it in this film. No more so than the opening chant within the Circle of Life I've got here. Have we talked about this? I've got the translation of it is just, here comes the Lion Father.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yes. Did we touch upon this?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. I won't repeat it then.
Must have been hilarious, mate.
It was when I was twiddling my knobs. But I was just going to say, it was totally ignorant of a Zulu audience as well, isn't it? I mean, it's not as though they're not going to watch it, people in Africa. It's the first Disney film about the continent of Africa. They're going to watch it, but they're still like, yeah, fuck them. We'll just garble their own language in front of them whilst they watch a film about their hometown. It's like someone making a film about Bolton and everyone walking around like, yeah, I love Bolton. It's great.
It's like that album Paul Simon did from Simon and Garfunkel in the time of apartheid. And like got in loads of shit for it.
Did he? He did that kind of thing. He just garbled their language and everything.
Well, yeah, he took sort of like South African and like African music and made that album like during the time. There's a really good documentary on it. You should watch it. Oh. This is not the time.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
We are seriously running out of time as well, actually. Am I all right to skip right to the end?
But just one last thing. The Be Prepared song by Scar was heavily inspired by footage of Nazis marching.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Perfect. They goose step all the hyenas, don't they?
Yeah. And also, just one other little bit. There was, in the original storyline, Scar was meant to send Nala away because he sexually advanced on her and to sort of like get rid of all his temptations. He wanted her to go away from Pride Rock. But they deemed it inappropriate. But the Nazis was fine.
Right, so out of five for sex.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, me too. Violence?
Violence, ooh, a 4, I think.
I'm going to give it 3. Horror?
Horror, ooh, 3.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a solid 3 as well. And morality?
Oh, it's just all over the place.
It is just, pretty bad.
I'm going to give it a 5, mate.
I'm going to give it a 5 as well.
Yeah.
And any racial bonus points?
I think the attempt at, you know, African culture from what they seem to have done with the baboon is just awful. So I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. It's a pretty solid 3, isn't it? So yeah. I've given it a 17, which is possibly number one so far for me, actually.
Okay.
You must be around 18, there as well. 18. That might be a series high. Thank you so much for listening, people. And do stay tuned for next week, where I don't know what film we're going to be talking about, but it will be a Disney film. And stay tuned. Keep following us. Keep listening. We really, really love you.
Bad nostalgia.
Look, Simba. Everything the light touches is our kingdom.
And this will all be mine?
Everything.